the last game tonight as the Big Five goes for its first sweep ever in Big Five games against the opposition. There have not been that many triple headers as such, but the Big Five has never swept. The lineup for Princeton will go through right now and elaborate a little bit later. Gary Knapp, a 5'10 freshman from Verona, New Jersey, at one guard. Dave Flatt, who we've seen, a 6'3 junior from Bloomington, Massachusetts, a guard. The center is Rick Simpkins, a highly talented 6'8 freshman. Forward are Neil Crystal, 6'5 sophomore, and Randy Melville, 6'5 junior, who we've seen for several years. Penn will start James Golter and David Jackson in the backcourt. That's going to be a one forward. Kenny Hall will start as a forward, a third guard. Simpkins will also be the center. Tom Leeson is in this spinning. This one out of civilian clothes with some tough knee injuries. We will be back on the air Tuesday night. The main show is for
UNIT, Bob.
In the second game, Penn and Temple. We're on WWDG-FM, WHAC-AM in Philadelphia. I'm Bob Vitone with Dan Baker. In Philadelphia, college basketball means Big Five action. And on Saturday afternoon, January 19th, a Big Five extravaganza is scheduled for the Spectrum. Two city series battles are on track, with the Villanova Wildcats beating the Penn Quakers at 1:30, and the LaSalle Explorers versus the Temple Owls at 3:30. Be on hand to see Michael Brooks, John Pannone, Tony Salters, Johnny Dodge, and all the local stars in action. Tickets are available at the Spectrum, at the Palestra, and at all ticket front outlets and leading ticket agencies. Big Five Basketball, 15 games in Philadelphia. All right, Dan, Phoenix Grill right here in front of us. Just in the first game, St. Peter's, the game we did not carry, the coach is Bob himself, who was his assistant at Princeton under Phoenix, and he showed some Phoenix Grill traits. His jacket came off early in the second half. He was constantly up trying to exhort his players even more. And as Princeton is being introduced, now we're getting some mixed reactions, a few cheers from the Princeton people. They don't look like a 12-year-old, but Rick Simpkins is a very highly talented 6'8 freshman. You mentioned he's from 6'0 in New York. Number four, Gary Knapp, a 5'10 freshman there. And of course, Phoenix Carrill. So that was Phoenix Carrill's introduction. You're going to hear a lot of noise in just a minute as they introduce the starting lineup for the Penn Quakers. I'll tell you, Dan, you count the people who were here for the Villanova game, the people who were here for the South game, and now the Penn fans. And you consider, I believe, the Love Creek fans are out of session. And that a lot of these are, just regular fans, although the usual good group of Penn students are. I'd say it'd be about a total of about 6,500 people. I mean, you consider the way it snowed all night into the day. I think it's a great turnout, a great ticket to the players on the team. The fans are starved. They haven't been a couple of years, so his end versus Princeton. Villanova has defeated St. Peter's. LaSalle has defeated Niagara. This is Bob Vitone, and turn it over to Dan Baker. The officials are Terry Sally, Mickey Sally, and Jerry Logan. Jerry, of course, has left the college ranks for a while, went into the pros, he's back in the colleges. And Mickey Sally, we see a lot, and I always intended to call him Terry Crowley because of the fine things that it was the Baltimore, Bullets, of course. But Mickey Crowley and Jerry Loeb, I'm happy to see Jerry back. I think Jerry is a good official. I think in college game, especially the Eastern College game, which occasionally loses good officials to either the pros or the other league, can use officials like Jerry. So Jerry Loeb, Mickey Crowley, Penn versus Princeton, P.D. Carrill versus Bob Weinhauer, the Penn Quakers versus the Princeton Tigers, the Penn fans who are out with their helmets, their jungle helmets, whatever you want to call them. And it's going to be the culmination of a great night already, Dan. And you can hear what Jerry Loeber has to say about you. Well, if he remembers me, he won't say too much. No, Jerry's always been all right. The Penn Quakers in white uniforms with a red and blue trim. Princeton in the black uniforms with orange and white trim. Vincent Ross and Rich Simpkins will jump it up. And Vincent is up too soon to get that tip, and it will be Princeton basketball to start the game.
Vincent got off a good jump, but maybe he caught a little bit too soon, although could be he just got a great lead.
Neil Crystal inbounding, Penn in a man-to-man. On the right side, Crystal underneath Simpkins from the left baseline, shoots and misses. The rebound by David Jackson, starting in the backcourt for the Quakers, along with Tony Salters. Right corner, Kenny Hall. To Jackson. Penn going with three guards here, Bob. And we've got a whistle and an offensive foul against James Saunders of Pennsylvania.
Called by Jerry Loeber. Princeton started there in the zone. Princeton more and more in the past year or so going to some zone defense. If they stay in the zone, then you know Angelo Reynolds will come in just as he's done in the past.
Dave Black inbounds to Gary Knapp in the backcourt for the Tigers. Simpson to Dave Black, top of the circle. Knapp to Simpson. Randy Melville, left baseline drive, blocked by Ward. But the ball comes back out, and that means it's a victory. And Ross dives for victory now. And the fans at the Palestra love it. Salter to the right corner to Jackson, underneath for Ross. He grabs it, and then Ross.
Princeton never quite had possession of that, but David Jackson didn't spot him right away. He was open for a second. When he did spot him, Princeton had to move a little bit to get the ball, never quite got back in possession.
Knapp in the backcourt. Passes ahead to Blatt. Crystal, Melville on the left forecourt. Simpson shoots left hand at top of the circle and misses. Salter's rebound. And the Quakers push it up the floor in a hurry. Salter to the right of the circle. Low post run. Jumper up. No good. Simpson's rebound for Princeton. Villanova has already defeated Princeton 57-55 in a game that was closer than anticipated up at Dillon Gym. Or I should say Jadwin Cage. Jadwin Gym. It used to be Dillon Gym. It's nothing and nothing. 18 and a half minutes remaining in the first half of the Ivy League basketball opener. Crystal drives the lane, blocked by Ross. Picked up by Melville, and as he goes to the hoop, we have a foul against the Quakers.
Very quick, and Vince Ross already has two big swats and two great rebounds. Just quick to miss the first personal foul. With 18-21, usually Ben Princeton games are scoreless at this time because neither team, because Princeton would slow the game down, but Princeton hasn't done that because neither team has been able to score. So it's the second team foul, the first on Smith. Melville shoots and makes.
Princeton leads 1-0. Bob Don Casey was saying between games that he thinks Harvard might make a run at 10 this year in the Ivy League.
That could be. In fact, McLaughlin's done a good job up there. Melville makes it 2.
2-0, Princeton, 10 ball. Moving shoulders, left corner, Kenny Hall. Back to James Shoulders, the foul line. Jumper, off, good. Here comes the running game.
For his three-dimensional, I'll say this is your stereophonic or something, besides coming from all the Penn stands. Of course, Beatty Carrill knows this is going to happen. He's just never accepted. He shakes his head, he'll clear the floor. James Shoulders ties the game at 18-11.
And Bob Petroon will now sing, "Fight on, Pennsylvania."
Fight on, Pennsylvania.
Bob yelled at himself hoarse this year at the red and blue football game, so he doesn't have any voice left for the basketball game, singing voice, that is.
But against the Penn West, Simpkins puts 2 men out of bounds to get the ball in.
Simpkins on the right baseline, drops it off outside for Crystal, cross court to Melville, who starts in against Ross. Penn in the zone this time, Bob. They may change it up a bit. Simpkins underneath. Jackson there with him, and he blocks it, but he's got a whistle.
On Dave Jackson, instead, Flick finds the front. Simpkins lost his balance. Simpkins got the lob. David has some backup out. He fouls him. Simpkins goes to line.
Pennsylvania 2, Princeton 2. 17:54 remaining in the first half of the Ivy League opener. Simpkins left-handed foul shot up and good. Simpkins, a 6'8 freshman, 220 pounds from Dix Hills, New York. Makes them both. Princeton 4, Penn 2. Tigers have but a 2-win-9-loss season mark. They played some real tough road games. I think they started the season against Michigan State. Richard Ross, right baseline, goes up, and he's fouled. He's fouled underneath by Neil Crystal. Crystal's a 6'5 sophomore from Reading.
And so, Neil's brother the other night played for Ryder when Ryder beat St. Joe's, and Ryder certainly a much improved team over the one we saw here early in the season, which LaSalle overwhelmed. Vincent Ross got that pass, didn't take a pass or anything, he went right up for the jump shot, and was fouled right away, so he goes to the line trying to get Penn back on even terms. Tigers lead 4-2. Penn takes a lot of time on the line and makes the first.
Princeton 4, Penn 3. As West Philadelphia High School alumnus Vincent Ross tries to tie it up. He pauses, bends his knees, puts it up and misses. And it's rebounded by Crystal. Not today's Vlad. Vlad is a 6'3 junior from Framingham, Massachusetts. Simpkins. You know, Bob, I noticed against Villanova, Simpkins plays way away from the basket. Gary Knapp missed the 25-footer to the left corner. Princeton 6, 10-3.
Somebody had some red and blue streamers left over and threw them out instead of the orange and black. So that probably, hopefully, is the last of the streamers for tonight. Mickey Crowley brings the floor up, and Jenny Hall and James Dollars bring the ball up against Princeton. This is amounts to a 3-2 zone, depending on how Penn attacks it.
Bob mentioned that Fran McCaffrey is done for the season, having undergone a surgical repair for a torn calf muscle. And Tommy Leeson also on the sideline tonight, not in uniform.
Gary Knapp fouled Billy Solis. It appears that Billy had walked, but apparently he was forced into a by Knapp before he got off that jump shot. So it's the first on Knapp, the second on Princeton, and still Penn's ball in the front court.
Penn owns a big edge in speed tonight, and I'm sure they'll try to use that advantage if they possibly can. Solis left corner to Kenny Hall.
Vincent had it a high post position.
Left side, David Jackson. Her oldest freshman, Paul Little, not starting tonight for Penn. Kenny Hall jumps left side, no good. Smith jumps for the rebound, no good. Jackson gets it for Penn. He comes out, puts it on the floor, and goes to Vincent Ross. Great effort by Jackson to win way up for that rebound. He is in a small forward spot tonight. Normally a guard, David Jackson. Kenny Hall has the ball bounced up to his right side, picks it up. For Salters, right corner, Teddy Flick, who's done some scoring for the Penn Breakers this year. Paul, right of the circle. He's got a whistle. 3 seconds in the lane against Vincent Ross.
Well, he's right in front of Jerry Lober. And Vincent just found himself stationary in there. Couldn't get out in time. Vincent brings the ball up. Tigers by three. We played 3.5.
Gary Knapp, a freshman from Verona, New Jersey, crosses midcourt with James Salters on him. Over to Neil Crystal. Teddy Flick on Crystal. He's got a whistle. Underneath an offensive foul on Randy Melville, trying to clear a path for Dave Black, the junior guard, and he's parked. A total turnover against Princeton. It's Penn's ball. James Salters to David Jackson. They got a whistle.
Something was thrown onto the court. The peanut shell probably full, but it wouldn't have carried that far, so Jerry Lober called a timeout. Now David Jackson inbounds with the Booney Solas in the front court.
Some Democrats in this partisan crowd tonight cheering for the Quakers. 16 minutes left in the first half. Solder shoots in the top of the circle. He misses. Ross taps, no good, and a whistle. And Vincent was pushed by Rick Simpkins as he went for that offensive follow. It's 15:56 remaining in the first half.
Vincent also, Cody, should have gotten 2 shots out of it, but it'll be a non-shooting foul.
Okay. Salters inbound to Paul. Just flick in the lane. Turn it on jumper. Up, no good. He goes for the rebound, and it comes off to Melville. 1-4. Melville slows it up. Goes back to Gary Knapp. Right side, Black. Dave Black still dribbling off the Simpkins. There again at the top of the circle. Crystal, left of the lane, stolen by Salters. James Pulse right at the handle. Alley comes up with a 3-on-2 jumper up to the circle. Good. Andy Melville against Kenny Hall. Penn in a full court press. Melville takes it all the way down the court himself. Back out to Black. Right side, Crystal drives in against Flick to the foul line. Off to Simpkins. Right forecourt. Black to Melville. Left corner. Melville in the lane to Black. Driving layup up. No good. And a blocking foul against Kenny Hall of Pennsylvania.
But as Dave Black drove down the lane, he and Hall collided. And foul was called. He was shooting foul, it would be a 2-shot foul. Didn't know whether he got the shot off in time or not. Allen says he did, so he did. Black goes to the line for 2 shots.
Well, Pete Carrillo, the fiery Princeton coach, who is as expressive in his actions as anybody, was up off the bench on that one to see what the call was. And Dave Black makes the first of two. I thought for a minute it might go the other way, and I think Pete did, too.
I think the little hesitation there on the call, and it was probably Mickey Sally waiting to make sure he got the right number. Flat missed the second. Vincent was rebound. Solis up for it.
Left corner, Penn. 7-5. Princeton leads 10. Penn looks to tie. Flick, right of the circle. The shoulders, top of the circle. Princeton in a zone defense. Crystal and Simpkins are underneath. Melville, Black, and Knapp are outside. Kenny Hall makes takes the walk. It's a 10-turnover Princeton ball. 14-43 remaining in the first half. Villanova and LaSalle already winners tonight in the first two games of the Palestra triple-header. St. Joseph is playing for the championship in the Kiwanis tournament at Old Dominion, against Old Dominion. Matt from outside shoots and misses. Simpson's pass. Good. Princeton 9-10-5.
Since the Ross was in there, just mistimed his leap and the ball hung through the long for him.
So there's a the circle. Back up to the top of the circle, flick left corner hall. Kenny looking. Back out to David Jackson near half court to James Salter. James motion for Jackson to go underneath on the left side. Then he goes to Hall, back of his circle. Patrick Salter from 18 feet on the right side, he takes. Gives it the flick along the right baseline. Hall to Jackson, left of the circle, jumper, no good. Flick rebound. Matt deflected. Jackson picks it up, throws up strong, misses, but he fouls. David Jackson is some fine action under the offensive boards to pen.
Good hustle by Dave there. It's the second time on a play like that where the shot is a miss and just out of nowhere he comes in for the offensive rebound. Almost got it back up and then they didn't. Pushing was on Simpson for 2 seconds. Simpson fifth. And Jackson on the line. David has yet to score. Shoulders has four and Russ has one for Penny.
Jackson's first foul shot is up and good. David has 1 point. He's averaging 3.3 points per game on the year. He's started now for four consecutive games, and he makes two in a row to bring the Quakers within two, and Penn is set up in a full-court press. Latvinev, Crystal with the basketball. It's for Simpson, who spins, dribbles against Flick, and gives it to Dave Blatt on the foot inside the midcourt line. In the Princeton forecourt, to Crystal, protected by Hall, and a foul, Kenny Hall. The Quaker fans, young and old, are not believers.
By Kenny Hall walks away, he goes and touches with the court. No, D'Angelo Reynolds in as we quivered against the zone. It's the second on Hall, he comes out. It's on 10, Princeton's ball in the front court with 13:31 to go and a half. The Tigers by 2, 9-7, two fouls on Kenny Hall.
Princeton leads by 2, and Simpkins out on the right side. Dave Black right of the circle. He dribbles against Angela Reynolds. To Simpkins, who spins in the low post. Up and good. And Princeton scores, but 2 feet above the rim to get the rebound. And when he came down, he was called for traveling. And Pete Carrillo was goaltending, and Bob Weinauer doesn't want walking. Princeton gets the ball, and they lead by 2.
Right. Petey just as upset that the Simpkins let Pitcher Ross get in that close, even to make the grab, whether it was lingo or not.
Bob, you are pure of heart.
I mean, Petey would yell today. He's yelling at Simpkins now. He's trying to get his message across to him. And I think it's about the offensive rebound position. Not a word against the officials. So if they would call technical, and they never do.
Well, that would be most unlucky to talk against the officials. Reynolds at the top of the circle to Jackson. The pusher by Melville back to Angelo Reynolds. Princeton lost the ball at the other end of the court. Reynolds at the foul line. Shoulder 20 feet out right side. Moves to the corner. And Reynolds right of the circle. And Angelo can't quite get his shot off quickly enough. David Jackson left of the circle. Back out to Angelo. So James Salter is right of the line. He's the number six. And you're tied at 9. Bob, if Angelo has one deficiency, it is that he shoots somewhat of a step shot from the standing position as opposed to the jumper, and he does take a little while to get it off.
Right, if they overplay him a little bit, as they did there, it's good to get Salter's in a little bit closer, just like he did. Angelo bumps into
Neil Crystal.
Yeah, I mean, he bumps into him. Crystal will get up off the floor. And it will be the 16th foul on Sam, the first on Angelo.
Angelo, a very well-built backcourt player with about as sturdy a pair of legs as you'll see. And he starts with a foul there. It's a non-shooting foul. Princeton inbound. Crystal, 25 feet out, right side, no good. And Simpkins was pushing off against David Jackson to get the rebound.
No, he wasn't. He says he wasn't. But he was. It's his third. And we're going to get a substitution right away. Number 32, Mike Sigel, 6'8" from Union, New Jersey. And the stand is there. Watch Angelo Reynolds, and we saw Jesse Hunter in the first game. And we've seen Michael Brooks and Mike Davis from Cornell. And
Dave Carell up in Vermont and Richard Furr up in Siena. Certainly, Pat Cassidy now and Joe McFadden before him have to be proud of the program they've got at West Catholic.
Oh, they certainly do. And of course, West Catholic has always produced outstanding players, Bob. Look at all the contributions that the Bob Gormleys and the Jimmy Lynams have made to the St. Joseph's program. And Jim Boyle, I believe, is from West Catholic,
right.
And many. Neil Kissel driving on the right side for Princeton is fouled. 11:33 remaining in the first half. Penn and Princeton all tied up at 9. And of course, there was a player, Herbie McGee, who was a pretty fair shot at West Catholic. Now the head coach is throwing off the Texel. Texel had a big overtime win over Scranton just a night ago.
But Lynam and McGee, Jimmy Boyle, Jim Flavin and Johnny Beck were the great West Catholic players too. Of course, you can go further back to the days of Reg Bagnell. A lot of people don't remember Reg as a basketball player, and it's better that way because he was a great football player.
The official makes one of two, Princeton 10, 10-9, and the Quakers look to take their first lead in the game. Reynolds in the corner, two shoulders at the top of the circle. James to Angelo Reynolds, right of the circle. Avery Rawlings now in for the Quakers. He is up front with Vincent Ross, replacing Ted Flick. Rawlings out 20 feet out on the right side. Reynolds takes, goes in to the left of the lane, back out to Salters. Reynolds from 25 feet out, left side, shoots no good. Ross taps no good. Rawlings tries to save it, and can't. It's Vincent Ross.
Ken, you mentioned Paul Little not in the starting lineup, and I know Paul had about 11 or 12 turnovers in the last 10 games, but I don't know that there's anything else wrong with him, whether he's been suffering from some of the virus or what, but a lot of the college teams have.
Mike Siegel from Union, whose brother Steve was with Bucknell, or might still be, and he passes to Melville, who sends, shoots, blocked by Ross, but a foul on Jackson. 10:39 remaining in the first half. Princeton 10, 10-9.
George Nunez off the bench. He should have been. Jay Preston from Bel Air, Merlin, looking in for David Jackson. So now Penn will play with the two guards. And up front will be Rawlings, Ross, and Nunez. Angelo coming over to Dennis Jackson. He's just a coach to Dennis giving some instructions as Melville goes to the line. Princeton leads by a point.
And now they lead by two.
And now they lead by two.
Princeton 11, 10-9. Princeton 12, 10-9. 10:39. Bob, it seems like all 10 Princeton games had a slowed down tempo. And it seems like all Princeton games had a slowed down tempo. Reynolds, right corner. Takes Siegel. Passes to Rawlings. Shoulders. Half out to lead him at that high point on the zone defense. Reynolds at the foul line. Rawlings, 20 feet out right side. And arcing jumper. No good. Ross will play him under in the pocket.
Well, he looked, I'll tell you, he showed some great control on that. If he had done that with his right hand, I think it would have been off for a win. Now, Pitcher drives right up the other end for a quick goal by Melville.
6 points for Melville. Princeton 14, 10, 11.
It was a brilliant drive by Melville.
Reynolds left corner. The Soldiers up to the circle. Shot is good. And the Soldiers, the captain, 5'11 senior from Hempstead, Long Island, New York. Moves 10 to within 1, it's 14 to 13. 9:46 remaining in the first half. And Steve Mills, a 6'1 junior from Roosevelt, New York, comes in for Princeton. They'll go into the backcourt and join Dave Black. He replaces Gary Knapp. Cross court pass from Melville to Kissel, almost stolen by Ross. Move now at center, Ross and Rawlings at forward. Reynolds in the backcourt position. Now Moon does make a steal. Off to Reynolds. Penn will try to take the first lead of trailing 14 to 13. Reynolds from the left of the circle, jump pass to Ross. Left of the lane, Vincent travels. Vincent, not a very good ball handler. Took the ball that time.
Commercial.
And wanted to get his own basket and put the Quakers into the lead. 9:14 remaining in the first half. Princeton takes a timeout. Leading Penn by one, 14 to 13. We'll be right back.
How do you handle a hungry man? The pan handler.
While we're away, Dan, I'm going to run and get a soda and a piece of pizza. So if we take another break, you'll hear it.
The pan handler.
to drink.
Do you want anything?
And thanks to my husband and the twins, I've got one great moving crew. And they're working up great big appetites.
How do you handle a hungry man? The man handles the sample piece that half what it takes to handle a hungry man.
When they're finished, I'll be waiting for my hungry men with one of the manhandlers. Campbell's noodles and ground beef soup with lots of good things. Vegetables, ground beef, and real egg noodles. Now that's what you call a man-sized part of a man's meal.
How do you handle a hungry man? The man handlers. The Campbell's soup can have what it takes to handle a hungry man. The man handlers. The Campbell's soup can have what it takes to handle a hungry man.
Dan Laker and Bob Patrone back at the Palestra. Princeton 14, Penn 13.
I was going to say, Princeton up by a point, 14-13, with 9:14 to go. Princeton's ball. Penn just lost possession on a Vincent Ross turnover, and Steve Mills brings it up. 9:06 now, remaining in the first half. Siegel in the right corner, guarded by Noon. Shoulders on Black, who shoots from 25 feet out to the left of the circle. In the Princeton forecourt, and the Tigers lead 16-13. Reynolds right corner, the Salters, Rawlings up to the circle. Reynolds open left corner, shoots the jumper, up and good. Princeton 16-15, 8:41 remaining first half. Steve Mills in control for Princeton. Penn settles into his own defense this time. Moon is in the middle. Flanked by Rawlings and Ross underneath. Shoulders is outside. He puts a hand in the face of Steve Mills, but Mills scores anyway from the top of the circle. Princeton 18, Penn 15. Reynolds right corner to Shoulders. Right of the circle. His shot is up and in and out. Rebounded by Crystal. Princeton leads by three. Both of the 10 Princeton games last year went into overtime, and both were won by Penn. Melville to Mills. Crystal to Mills. Melville, left side, cross court, Crystal. Cross court back to Black. Mills to the top of the circle, lets it go and misses, but the rebound comes way out to Melville near the right sideline. Penn had good defensive rebounding position, but sometimes the ball hits the heel of the rim or the front of the rim and pops way out. It did that time. Mills at the basketball, high post to Black. Right side, Crystal. Mills, Black, cross court, Crystal. Throwing in the ball, throwing the ball around very quickly. Glad again, cross court to Crystal. Mills, top of the circle. To Glad. 7:24 left for the half. Rawlings goes for the steal. He hits Crystal. Melville down the lane, shoots and misses. He follows so good. And Rawlings rebounds. Up to Salters. 3-on-2. Salters against Mills. And we've got a whistle and a holding foul. Could be a one-on-one as Salter should go to the line, I believe, yes. And it's on Steve Mills. A little bit of more unusual contact than you usually see in a Penn-Princeton game underneath there. A lot of bang, nothing was called. And Salter came out of the pack and up this way. Now, Quick comes in for Avery Rawlings, who Penn now playing with Noon, Ross, Flick, Salters, and Kenny Hall. Angelo Reynolds out. Penn fails by three with 7:09 to go in the first half. Salter's on the line. And Booney has 8 points.
He makes the first, he gets a bonus. He makes the first, he gets a bonus. Princeton 18, Penn 16. Dan Baker and Bob Patrone at the Palestra, sending you Big Five action over WHAT 1340 AM and WWDB-FM 96.5.
Where we'll be Tuesday night with St. Louis, Georgetown, and Temple. Salters makes the second, it's 18-17. Rawlings comes in, Vincent Ross is out for the first time. So the steps to run, Vincent gets a good inning. That's the most devastating block you'd ever want to see. Princeton now against a one-man set by Booney Salters.
Penn playing somewhat underhanded tonight without the services of Fran McCaffrey, Ted Leeson, or to this point, Paul Little. And with the kind of ability that Little has, you have to think that there might be some reason that he's not in here yet. Princeton 18, Penn 17. Siegel passes outside, but before he did, he might have walked. Let's see, no, it was an offensive foul. He tried to back Noon off of him and actually shoved him. And it's a turnover against Princeton, Penn's ball. Penn has not yet led tonight.
But they tied at 2 and tied at 9, but the Quakers have never been ahead.
Well, if they go ahead here, you're going to hear it very quickly from a largely partisan Penn crowd at the Palestra in Philadelphia. shoulders, top of the circle. Mills out there quickly before he can get the shot away. Flick left corner, arcs the jumper up and no good. And Melville attempting to get the rebound, deflected out of bounds. And Mickey Crowley says, light leading a 10 ball under the basket.
Right, there were four black shirts all waiting for someone else to take it, and it just went right out of bounds as eight eyes watched it go.
Salters to Avery Rowling. Kenny Hall, James Salters, right corner. Kenny Hall to the top of the circle. Back to Salters. Then they've had to shoot most of their shots from distance here. And the Texas Princeton Jones thrown up against them. Salters on the right forecourt to Kenny Hall. Halfway between the top of the foul circle and the midcourt circle. Back to Salters. Doing it a low post. Red flick in the right corner. Has the basketball. He throws it. It's deflected by Blatt and it goes into the backcourt. And Mickey Crowley says no, Blatt did not touch it. And it will be a backcourt violation against them.
Because it appeared as though Salters might have had a shot at getting it. But just assume that it's been touched. I guess he better not make that assumption. Because the ball did seem to change slightly direction.
There was some question, but at any rate, it's Princeton's basketball. Neil Crystal to Steve Mills. Princeton by one. Salters steals. They'll try to break quickly. James at the foul line. As soon as knocked down from behind by Melville. Smith shoots and scores. Penn leads 19-8. Big George Moon took a hard spill in the vicinity of the foul line. And now the foul line is 2 feet closer to the Penn basket. 10-19, Princeton 18. 5 foot, go ahead and laugh, Bob. This is out basketball.
At a minor, actually.
10-1. 5:03 remaining in the first half. Villanova and LaSalle are already winners tonight. Penn and St. Joseph's will try to make it a clean sweep before the night is out. Temple is off tonight. Siegel to Blatt, outside on the left. He shoots and misses. Quick rebound. Off the shoulders. Penn quickly up court again. They try to get up there before that Princeton zone defense can set up. But Princeton is back quickly also. Flick, right corner to Salters. Hall left of the circle. Long jumper up and no good. Moon fighting for the rebound, but Crystal gets it. Off to Blatt. Blatt crosses midcourt. Penn leads Princeton by one. That is the Quakers' first lead in the game, 19-18. Blatt in the lane, drops it off for Melville. He shoots. Blocked by Moon. To Hall. Off to Salters. It looked like there might have been some contact there. Flick, left side, right side, 18 feet, side of it. 10 by 3, 21-18. Steve Hill launches midcourt on the dribble for Princeton. 3:48 left in the first half. The scoreboard puts the word defense. Defense with two E's. They got three E's, the two E's following the D. Right side, Black shoots the jumper, he misses. Single rebound, he tries to shoot, he falls. Salters steals it, behind the back, the jumper, and the lane of the goal. The final three, he's coming to life. Rooney got a 1-on-4 fast break. The screen is out on the floor, Salters got that one, and he deserves it. We're going to have a Princeton timeout. With 3:20 left in the first half, Pennsylvania 23, Princeton 18, let's pause for these words.
Make it another week of winners for this year's Philly Big Five basketball team. The top men in college basketball go one-on-one for the top slot. And did you know Philly's got another Big Five? Mrs. Paul's top five seafood dishes. And everyone's a winner. Number one is Mrs. Paul's more crab than ever deviled crabs. The crunchiest coating you'll ever want to munch. Number two is Mrs. Paul's breaded fish fillets. Thick cuts of white fish, deliciously breaded for a taste that never loses.
Sounds really good.
Then there's our light batter fish fillets. Tender white fish on the inside. And a crispy, crunchy batter on the outside that's the best they ever made. Number four is Mrs. Paul's fried clams. Nothing's better than listening to the game with a crunchy plateful right next to your favorite beverage. Number five is Mrs. Paul's fried scallops. So good, you just might want to eat them with some clams, some cocktail sauce, and a couple of friends. So, with Mrs. Paul's Big Five dishes, even if your team loses, you're a winner.
Pennsylvania 23, Princeton 18. With Bob Vicone, I'm Dan Baker at the Palestra. In this, the third game of a Big Five doubleheader. Villanova defeated St. Peter's 51-50. LaSalle then defeated Niagara 95-83 behind Michael Brooks, 34 points. And with 3:20 left in the first half, in the Ivy League opener, Penn leads Princeton 23-18. Princeton has the basketball in their forecourt. Neil Crystal, Dave Black, Gary Knapp now back in for Steve Mills at a guard. He's swinging around the Penn defense. Meldon, the high post to Seagull, deflected by Angelo Reynolds, who's playing some very good defense. Off to Teddy Flick. Flick to James Solder. And now, slowly up the court. Reynolds, top of the circle. Penn leads by five. Flick, left corner. Left baseline to Ross. Back to Flick. Solder's outside, left of the circle. Reynolds, right of the circle. Right corner, Flick. Shoulders up to the circle, deflected by Melville. The ball comes down. Flick and Siegel fight for it, and Flick goes over the back of Mike Siegel, a 6'8 freshman, and a foul on 10-10 Flick.
And it's his second, and it might be a jump ball, but as Flick came away, it was called the personal foul against him. It'll be his second. It was already in the 1-1 as Mike Siegel goes to the line. Mike, big guy, 6'8. As Dan mentioned, has a brother on the Bucknell team. Bucknell is in here tonight. The South plays Notre Dame. He's a very good player.
If you don't already have your tickets for that doubleheader, you better get them quick. St. Joe, Bucknell, LaSalle, Notre Dame. There are very few that remain, I'm sure. Siegel makes the first, misses the second. 10-23, Princeton 19. The Quakers lead by four. Penn comes in here with two wins and four losses. They've had a very tough early schedule. Reynolds, 25 feet, 60 misses. Just a rebound. With 2 minutes and 4 seconds remaining in the first half, Princeton will try to cut the Penn margin to a single field goal. Larry Knapp in the backcourt, guarded by Salter. Siegel in the right corner, pass underneath to Melville. His shot is up and no good, but he's fouled. And Randy Melville will go to the line to shoot two.
Sean said Flick as Randy went up. Give it a sort of like a mid-air fake, and that was faked into the foul. It's his third. George June will replace him, big number 50. And Melville goes to the line. Randy has 6 points. He's a Princeton high scorer. Cooney Shoulders has 12 for Penn. He's a Quakers guy.
So far, the Quakers playing without the services of Paul Little. Bob, I didn't even notice that Paul was in uniform tonight, had you?
No, I was talking with Tom Leeson before, and, you know, he wasn't, as we mentioned, and we know Dan McCaffrey, if Melville misses the first, Dan McCaffrey is out with surgery. So he makes the second, 22-20. We're going to do a check on Paul here.
10-23, Princeton 20. Penn will try to take a 5-point lead with a minute 46 remaining. Underneath Moon, open, Solder gets it to him, Moon up, no good. Reynolds fights for the rebound, but it's taken away by Black, who has a 1-on-2. So he decides to wait for the rest of the Tiger offense. With a minute and a half remaining, Knapp to Melville. Right side, Crystal, Knapp, Melville, left of the lane, tries to get it to Single, and he's got a foul.
That is Randy Grove. I think Angelo Reynolds fouled him on the pass off. It'll be a 1-on-1. And on Angelo, that'll be his second personal foul. I think he got one as soon as he came into the game. So Reynolds commits his foul. We have 1:22 to go. It's a 1-on-1. Melville goes to the line.
He was fouled in the act of passing. So he has a 1-on-1. He shoots it up and makes it. He gets a bonus. 10-23, Princeton 21. Princeton could cut the margin to a single point. Melville at the line, puts it up and in. 10-23, Princeton 22, a minute 22 remaining in the first half. And as ever, another tight Penn Princeton basketball.
There's nothing but them when they get together.
Reynolds is fouled by Melville at the top of the circle. And Angelo will go to the foul line to shoot one and one.
But Randy stuck his hand in, got caught in a cookie jar and pulled it out, but not quickly enough.
Angelo has not been to the foul line yet this year. This is his very first shot in the 15-foot line in the 1979-80 collegiate basketball season. The shot is up and good. 10-24, Princeton 22. The Quakers by a field goal. Angelo bouncing the basketball, puts it up and in.
Men 25, Princeton 22. A minute and 11 remaining until halftime. Gary Knapp crosses midcourt. Penn has Shoulders, Little, Noon, Rawlings, and Ross on the floor. And here's a pass by Bellville, deflected and taken by Reynolds after Rawlings deflected it, and then Angelo is grabbed from behind. So he'll go to the 15-foot line again to shoot one and one.
Avery Rawlings, a very quiet playing 6'7 freshman from Atlanta. He's made a very good play there. We're going to get Craig Robinson, a 6'5 freshman from Chicago, for Princeton to replace Melville, because Melville picked up his third personal foul. But Dan Rawlings made a good play in making the interception, pass it off to Reynolds. Reynolds was fouled from behind by Melville. Angelo makes a 3-for-3 in the last 15 seconds.
10-26, Princeton 22. 56 seconds left until intermission. We're in the first half of 10 Princeton. Angelo makes another. He has 6 points in the game, 4-for-4 from the line. 10-27, Princeton 22. 50 seconds left in the first half. We have a Princeton substitution. Greg Robinson, as Bob told you about, now operating at one of the wings. Gary Knapp, high post circle, right side black, 38 seconds. Knapp lets it go from the top of the circle. He connects. 32 seconds left. Bob Weinhauer tells James Shoulders, one shot, Tony. 10-27, Princeton 24, 23 seconds left in the first half. Reynolds and Shoulders are having a catch near midcourt. With 18 seconds left.
Gary Knapp looks over to Pete Carrillo to what to do, and Pete gives him just a met-to-met type of thing. Go out a little bit.
10 seconds now. Ben has to start making a move at about 7 or 8. Reynolds takes, goes to Ross, 20 feet out, right side, jumper, no good. Ball is taken to the rebound and pops it out of bounds with 1 second left. It's Princeton 4. Crystal will inbound. He's looking for help. With 1 second left, he throws it to Black, who hurls the baseball style, 3/4 of the court, and misses. As the first half ends, with Penn leading Princeton by 3, Pennsylvania 27, Princeton 24, and we'll be back after these messages.
This bug for you, for being on the job and working out all day. This bug for you, you know that nothing lasts and best can make it all the way. Yes, here's to you, there's no one else who does it quite the way you do. This bug for you, because it isn't only what you say, it's what you do.
Stand by.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Before a Palestra doubleheader or after, the basketball crowd prefers to eat their dinner at Cavanaugh's, 31st and Market Street. Coaches, former players, television and radio sportscasters, and sports writers are all numbered among the crowd that enjoys the famous open-faced steak sandwiches and other top menu selections. The hot roast beef and the hot turkey sandwiches are among my favorites. Because crowds like to congregate there after the game, starting this year, the kitchen will be open until 12:30. Even when there's no game, there's still great food at Cavanaugh's.
Dan Baker and Bob Batone back at the Palestra. Halftime of the third game of the triple header. Pennsylvania leads Princeton 27-24. And we're now being joined by John Nash, the executive director of Big Five Basketball. And John, we were talking earlier about Christmas tournaments, and there's been some speculation in Philadelphia this week that there might be a holiday tournament in the coffee, which would involve one of the Philadelphia Big Five teams that could possibly be hosted in Atlantic City, that would maybe in part be sponsored by the Atlantic City Chamber of Commerce with the support of some of the Atlantic City casinos. You are the executive director of the Big Five, and one of these opportunities would not come along without your approval and certainly your help. And
What are those possibilities, Don?
Dan, it's kind of interesting the way this whole story has developed. I think our approval has been given before the fact, in that actually we were talking about the possibility of a tournament returning to the area the other day at the Earthgood Basketball Writers Luncheon, and in the discussion, I expressed the opinion that it might not be a bad idea for someone to possibly think about hosting a tournament in the Atlantic City area. Ernie Cassell then mentioned that he had been contacted with regard to that very project by one of the casinos down there, and had some correspondence on file. And as a result of a story that Ralph Bernstein actually wrote from that luncheon, I've received some exploratory interest on the part of some of the people in Atlantic City, and I think it's generated a lot of interest among basketball fans. A lot of questions have to be answered, but the one that that I'm fully aware of is that, yes, we would definitely be willing to provide at least one team. If it's a four-team tournament, that may be all that the people in Atlantic City would want to have included from Philadelphia, but I think we'd be capable of supplying two teams if they wanted. And St. Joseph's and Penn already have indicated an interest on the part of Bob Weinauer, who would like to play close to home around Christmas time. And Don DeJoria and Jimmy Lineham have both said that they're available next Christmas. So this is something that, if all the pieces were to fit together, could conceivably begin next year. But it's just in talk at this point, and there's a great deal of fact-finding to be done.
John, specifically, what things have to happen before that can become a reality?
Well, I guess, first of all, someone has to undertake the responsibility of running the tournament. We at the Big Five are really not in the business of doing that. These major tournaments that are highly successful require a number of individuals to work on a full-time basis for at least a couple of months prior to the tournament. And in some cases, tournament directors and bowl directors are year-round employees. So I would suggest that the first thing that has to be done is that either the Chamber of Commerce of Atlantic City, and I'm using them as an example, or one of the casinos or individual would have to undertake the responsibility for the project. And then we would fully cooperate with that individual or organization in trying to put together a field of teams. And, you know, hopefully one of our teams would be included in that field.
It's halftime of the Ivy League opener for 1979-80. Penn leads Princeton at the Palestra, 27-24. We're talking with the executive director of Big Five Basketball, John Nash. More with John Nash, Bob Patone, and Dan Baker, but first, these messages.
The Philadelphia Big Five and McGarrity Chevrolet are proud to announce that you can now attend the Palestra Doubleheaders free, courtesy of McGarrity Chevrolet. Just stop in the showroom on Bethlehem Pike in Flowertown and ask for your free Big Five ticket. While you're there, check out the 1980 Chevrolets. The McGarrity staff will be happy to discuss automobile leasing as well. So don't delay. Get the best deal on Big Five basketball tickets and the best deal on new or used cars at McGarrity Chevrolet on Bethlehem Pike in Flowertown. McGarrity Chevrolet and Big Five basketball. What a doubleheader.
How do you handle a hungry man? With a man hammer.
Whip, 2 points. Nice shot, Dad.
The man hammer.
Seems like my two men have been out there all morning throwing that ball around.
Did you hear okay, John?
I know they won't have two man-sized appetites.
How do you handle a hungry man? The man hammer. The Campbell took that hand. What did it take to handle a hungry man?
Here they come, appetites and all, and I'm ready for them with a hearty lunch and a hearty snack. Campbell's vegetable beef. It's one soup they can really dig into. Juicy beef, good-tasting vegetables, and a delicious beef stock. A man-sized part of a man's meal.
Stand by.
When you gonna work on your hook shot? When you finally beat me, Dad.
In Philadelphia, college basketball means Big Five action. And on Saturday afternoon, January 19th, a Big Five extravaganza is scheduled for the Spectrum. Two city series battles are on tap, with the Villanova Wildcats beating the Penn Quakers at 1:30 and the LaSalle Explorers versus the Temple Owls at 3:30. Be on hand to see Michael Brooks, John Perdomo, Looney Saunders, Johnny Dodds, and all the local stars in action. Tickets are available at the Spectrum, at the Palestra, and at all Ticketron outlets and 80 ticket agencies. Big televised basketball. The team game in Philadelphia. Dan Baker, John Nash, Bob McCall, halftime of 10 Princeton, 10-27, Princeton 24. Here's Bob McCall.
Let me mention Stan McCaffrey, Tom Leach, who are injured. Paul Little missed the team meeting and has been held out of the lot of the game so far by Bob Meinauer. He's resting on the bench and possibly for the action in the second game. James Dalton missed a team meeting early in the season, did not start, got a new game much earlier than what Little did. John, in the Sunday Bulletin, one of your favorite columnists, a fellow I can't stand personally, Buck the Bartender, has a great suggestion. Play the college tournament on an alternate night and put a high school tournament on an alternate night so you can have the Seagull, the Seahawks, the Casino Classic, the Baccarat Basketball Bash all at once, and we all go down the shore for a week. All expenses on John Nash. I think it's a great idea. I don't often agree with the fellow, but I think he has something there.
Buck the Bartender will undoubtedly put his chips in.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. At least it makes for good conversation, Bob. And, you know, I would look forward to the reinstitution of a tournament inside Atlantic City, at least locally. The ECAC, of course, ran the Quaker City tournament that was conducted here at the Palestra, later at the Spectrum, and back at the Palestra. And I think that our coaches have had their fill of having to go away at Christmas time. It's nice to go away and travel the country, but it's also nice to stay home once every couple of years and give the players an opportunity to be seen by their family over the holidays.
John Nash, I was listening to Bob Petrone's Big Five Pipeline on WWDB a couple of Sunday nights.
You were the one.
When you were the special guest. And I thought that you were unfairly attacked, representing the Big Five, because they said that the schedule at the Palestra was weak. John, you defended yourself and the Big Five ADs by mentioning some of the top flight opponents that are coming in, and it might do well to mention some of the outstanding names that we do have on tap for the Palestra doubleheaders in January and February of 1980, and I think there are some good ones.
Well, Dan, I think we were really proud of the fact that preseason we had five of the top 20 teams nationally ranked already on the home schedule here at the Palestra, and of course in the month of December we saw Virginia come to Philadelphia. They were one of the top 20 teams that we're talking about, and also Duke, the number one team in the country. Tuesday evening, number 18, Georgetown will be in town. Later in the month, Notre Dame comes to Philadelphia. Of course, I think they're about number 5 and probably going to move up a bit. St. John's is amongst the top 20 preseason and playing very well. They will also be in Philadelphia here in the Palestra in February to go along with teams like Rutgers and Rhode Island, Providence. I think the schedule is fairly representative. The 10 City Series games that are always well contested. I think that this is perhaps the best local schedule we've had in quite some time. Some people asked about Holy Cross and Boston College and Seton Hall. Well, BC happened to have the misfortune of running into a buzzsaw at the Philadelphia Fieldhouse the other night, and they did come into Philadelphia, but were scheduled for the Fieldhouse. We have been unable to get Holy Cross, but St. Joe did defeat Holy Cross last year in the Merrill Invitational, and I don't know that they are of the caliber that the teams we have visiting Philadelphia. Duquesne, who really is a fairly good basketball team, was in here and beat Villanova. St. Bonaventure, I don't know that we could do a better job
great
of getting the top teams in the East to visit the city than we did this year.
John Nash, executive director of the Big Five, our guest between halves of the Penn-Princeton game, Penn leads Princeton 27-24. John, thank you very much for all of your assistance in the past and in the present for making these broadcasts possible, and continued good luck on the great attendance that we've seen and the resurgence in the interest of Big Five basketball in Philadelphia, a lot of which is responsible for John Nash. John Nash has been one of the leaders in the resurgence of college basketball interest in Philadelphia, and I think that all the people who deal with you, John, from the media standpoint, from the broadcasters, from the writers, are aware of this. The diplomacy with which you deal with all of the writers, I think, has played a part in the willingness on the part of many to give the Big Five the exposure which maybe they weren't getting 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Dan, thank you for the kind words. I feel obligated to ask for a raise after the way you built me up, but I am very encouraged at the fact that we've had 5,150 people brave the snowstorm to come out here this evening. Our crowd would have obviously been bigger if we hadn't experienced the snow, but that's one of the hazards of a winter sport. Our advance sale was over 5,000, so some with tickets were unable to come. But we are averaging 7,800 a game going in tonight, and I think we're going to set an all-time attendance record this year in the Palestra. And it's great for those folks that can't get here to be able to tune in and listen to you and Bob the Crow.
And John, we hope you'll visit us again real soon on WHAP and WWDB.
Now I'm
going to
hammer
race. 10:27, Princeton 24, and we'll be right back with the second half after this.
The fans here in Philly go for basketball in a big way. And the Big Five is basketball at its best. Whether it's the Explorers teaming the Wildcats or St. Joseph's out hustling the Quakers, it's some top competition. But you know, there's no competition when it comes to Mrs. Paul's fried scallops and clams. Mrs. Paul's uses only the finest white scallops and sweet baby clams. Then, they're dipped in a batter so crisp, they're going to go as fast as you can make them. Because nothing works up an appetite like some serious competition. Nothing satisfies it better than Mrs. Paul's fried scallops and clams. So this week, there's going to be a lot of Big Five action. Be sure you stock up on your favorite beverage and plenty of Mrs. Paul's for the game. Because there's only one Big Five, there's only one seafood dish good enough to serve. Mrs. Paul's.
And now here's Bob Patrone to take a look at the first half statistics.
Just over saying hello to Ed Kay on behalf of Play-by-Play Sports. Always nice to see the station brass assistant. Quickly for the Ben Quakers, click four. Kenny Hall did not score. Steve for Ross, 12 for Ruby Crawlers. David Jackson, 2. Avery Wellington, a score. Reynolds, 6. New nothing. Assistant Andy Melville leads with 9. Crystal has only a point. Simpkins, 4. Knapp, 4. Flat, 3. Sickle, 1. Bill, 2. Robinson, 9. Simpkins, 24. 10:27. Villanova wins the opening. LaSalle wins the second game. Big Five goes for the hat trick. 27-24. 20 minutes to go. Mickey Sally throws the ball up. Simpson gets possession. Tingle and Ross jumped it up to start the second half. Simpson has the ball. And the black-clad Tigers moving from our left to right in the second half. Bob gave me the high side to say I was directing runs left to right. The shot by Siegel was missed. Rebounded by Ross. Thank you, Roberts. Right side, Jackson. Shoots and scores. And 29, Simpson 24. And Looney Shoulders and David Jackson slap on near midcourt.
Right, David Little, or Paul Little, is in the ballgame now. He shows his probation. Missing the first half for having been absent from the team meeting.
And he could make a difference, Bob. He's a fine, fine player.
Should be well rested.
Out of Boston, Massachusetts. And he played the Black. Robinson. I think Robinson's going to play more and more at the Princeton. It's a fine looking youngster.
It's a fine young team. The only senior is John Rogers, who doesn't play. Everybody else is under pressure.
Simpkins takes left, takes right, shoots, misses, left rebound. Simpkins almost traveled before that shot. Shorter, top of the circle. It goes towards referee Mickey Fowler. Mickey doesn't want to pass, so James goes right and throws it to Flick in the right corner. Back to Jackson. Shorter's on the left side. 14:46 remaining. Then leading by 1, 29-28. Flick goes right side. Back out to Jackson. Quick right corner. 5,150. Here to see this triple-header tonight at the Palestra. Shoulder shoot. No good. The ball is partially blocked, and he is fouled underneath by number 45, I believe, Craig Robinson.
Station ID.
Angelo Reynolds comes in. He held up that four, Bob, and was pausing on the second hand. We do have to be a one and a five. 14:32 remaining in the game. James Shoulders goes to the foul line to shoot two. 10:29, Princeton 28. And you're listening to Big Five College Basketball on WHAT and WWDB in Philadelphia. Shoulders makes the first. 10:30, Princeton 28.
Okay, is. Fleury's got 13 points. He had 12 in the first half. He's the leading scorer by far. Randy Melville has 9 all in the first half of Princeton. When he put the second up, not quite as true, but ends up going through.
James Salters with 14 points to lead all scorers in the game. And by 3, 31-28, Princeton with the ball. This is one game, Bob, that if Penn can put it in the victory column, I always read a lot easier. I think it always puts us a step up in the rest of the Ivy League. When you can start with a victory over Princeton. And I don't care that they're 2-9, they are always tough. Simpson takes one, drives the lane, shoots it high off the glass. He misses, but he was fouled.
But as Paul Little came down trying to block that, he landed right on top of it, Simpson. And, as we mentioned earlier, Simpson very well built, 6'8", 220. He staggers a little on that one. It's the first on Little, the second on Penn. Simpkins goes to the line with his team down by 3, now by 2.
Simpkins put so much arch on that shot, I thought he was going to loft it right over the backboard for a minute. He makes the first of 2 fouls, and he makes the second. It's back to a 1-point lead for Penn, 31-30, 14:06 remaining in the game. Reynolds to Shoulders, left of the circle, we've got a whistle. And some kind of a violation against Penn because they're walking the other way.
Paul Little pushing off, saying that he was getting elbowed first and they caught him on the push-off. He's explaining it to Bob Weinhauer, won't help. Penn drops back on defense with 14 minutes to go and up by a point, 31-30.
And of course, that often happens in the battles under the boards. A little pushing and shoving, and it's just impossible for the officials to see everything. Crystal out of the right side, shoots and misses. Look, way up in the rebound. Penn leads by one, and they have the ball. Shoulders pushes the ball up the court quickly. Left in a circle, out to Ross. To Angelo Reynolds, back near the midcourt circle. Angelo drives to the right against Dave Glass. And passes to Shoulders at the top of the circle. The ball in the left forecourt. Shoulders left of the circle. Reynolds right of the circle. Flick right corner. Cross-court pass. Stolen by Robinson. Little dives for it, trying to retake it. The ball is loose on the court. Ross dives for it with Crystal and on a jump ball at the 10 foul line. Good hustling effort by everybody.
Again, you hustled a lot on that one. And I tell you, the officials played it cool. They let it, it was never in anybody's complete control, and there wasn't a whole lot of danger of pushing and shoving. Once there were 3 or 4 people surrounding the ball, they blew the whistle, they'll call for a jump ball. Spencer Brooks comes over the sideline. He's all right. He just, I think, lost his head for a second. And Vicky Sally wipes up where all those bodies were watering that floor. So it's got a situation in some games that sometimes things like that can erupt. There was no danger of it there.
Simpkins and Ross jumping up. Vincent easily out jumps Simpkins and taps the ball back to his midcourt where James Shoulders is in control. He takes the shot from 20 feet out left of the circle. Ball goes to Flick. Flick plus Mr. Reynolds, deflected by Robinson. Back to Flick. He'll shoot from the deep left corner. Up, no good. Rebounded by Dave Gladys. And the Tigers would regain the lead with a field goal. Pistol. No post distance in the lane. Layup in the bucket. It went in. And back in again. 15:32. 10:31. Shoulders, ready to circle, whiffs and misses, gets the rebound. 12.5 minutes remaining, and Princeton is starting to get some rebounds, and Bob Weinhauer gets George Floon off the bench. I think he wants a little more rebounding strength for the Quakers. Black left of the circle, to Robinson. He has Crystal at the top of the circle. Chris Simpkins, low post, he spins, shoots over Ross, in and out. Ross with the rebound. Shoulders, and trails by one, 32-31. Shoulders right in the circle, to Flick. Left corner Reynolds, he's open, he shoots, he's got it. 32-32. A
11:59, and Bob Weinhauer wants the two defense in there.
Now, that's okay. It was Angelo Reynolds swung around the baseline and got the good open pass from the Seth Flick and was through with it. That's a penalty.
33-32 pass. Map, top of the circle. Let it go. Good. Princeton 34. Pennsylvania 33. And with the ball, trailing by one. 11 and a half minutes remaining in the game. Reynolds again, left corner, shoots up and good.
Keep swinging them around. They're going to think he's going to have to adjust the defense and maybe open up inside a little bit. But Angelo's in there for it, and that's what he can do.
And 35, follows against the old midcourt. 2-on-1. Deep pass for Little, stolen by Matt. Retaken by Little, and a foul. Let's see who the foul's on. It's either on Neil Crystal fouling Paul Little, or Paul Little fouling Gary Knapp.
Or Gary Knapp fouling Paul Little before he fouled Gary Knapp back. And out at the circle is Paul Little. James Salters had a great fast break opportunity. The ball just eluded his hands after he made the steal. It'll be Penn's ball. The foul is on Gary Knapp. It's his third for the small freshman from Verona, New Jersey. And then Angelo Reynolds will inbound it.
And it's Penn's basketball on a Princeton foul. 11:03 remaining. Flick to Noon, left baseline. Then he stepped over the end line. 10:58 remaining, 10 by 1, 35-34. A Quaker turnover. Princeton with the basketball. Bob, which way are the Tigers moving in the second half? Horizontal. Bob holds his hand out in front of him and makes a motion from left to right. That's which way they're going. They're trailing by one. Princeton has the ball and could regain the lead. Robinson shoots from 18 feet, and Princeton leads 36-35. Penn very quickly back on the attack, moving from right to left. Shoulders to Reynolds. Angelo looks around, goes back to James Shoulders, Teddy Flick. There's Angelo in the left corner, he tips it up. The ball is deflected to him out of Ted Flick's hand. Robinson reached to behind Flick and batted it to Reynolds. Shoulders to Flick in the right corner. Reynolds now comes out to get it to the top of the circle. He takes the pass to Shoulders to the left, now goes to James, 20 feet out left side, jumper, good. And Penn is back on top, 37-36. 9:58 remaining in the game. The Ivy League opener. Dave Blatt at midcourt. Then, both teams, very youthful, seeking to get better as the season progresses. Greg Robinson drives to the hoop against Avery Rawlings, who's got a blocking foul against the Atlanta freshman playing forward for Penn.
Angelo Reynolds comes out. He did his job with it. Comes on defense. Hitting the two sides for Shumpert. The foul is on Rawlings. It's his first. Penn's fourth. But he spins his ball underneath.
Crystal to Rawlings in the left corner. Back out to Gary Knapp. Princeton giving Penn a lot of difficulty here. Penn leading by just one, 37-36. Robinson again from 18 misses. Two rebounds for Penn. The Shoulders. Penn will try to increase their lead to three. Shoulders to the top of the circle. Right corner, Kenny Hall. Back to Shoulders, right of the circle. Lifted the circle to Avery Rawlings. Rawlings over the flick. Right corner, Shoulders. James looks around. Shoulders with 16 points to lead all scorers in the game. Rawlings in the right corner. James also has three fouls. This is Kenny Hall. Shoulders on the left side. Kenny Hall. Top of the circle. Getting to George Newton. Low post. Big shot is coming in. And the Quakers get a couple of points out of the center position. And they lead 39-36. With 8:47 remaining in the game. Still no word on that St. Joseph's Old Dominion matchup from the championship of the Kiwanis Classic down in Virginia. Gary Knapp with the basketball in the Princeton forecourt. The Tigers trail 10 by 3, 39-36. With less than 8.5 minutes remaining in the game. Blatt drives to the lane, shoots over Kenny Hall, up around, no good. He tries the pass, no good. Boone goes for the rebound. And the ball goes out of bounds. Off of Penn. Neil Crystal diving out of bounds, threw the ball back hard off of Teddy Flick. And Teddy couldn't hold it and went over the end line. Princeton ball. Half the circle from the lane, he goes up, he's two teammates. He follows so good, Crystal follows so good. No rebound for Penn, a
away from the basket. Good hustle by the freshman from Delaware, Maryland, for 10.
You see a big turning point there where Princeton comes away with nothing after having the ball for almost a minute under the front court door.
No, a flick. The ball batted away, but taken by Rowling. Getting ball outside. 7:53 remaining in the game. Left corner flip. Takes the shot. Looks around. Goes to Hall, left of the circle. Kenny to Booney Folders. On the right side. Wall shoots to the right baseline. Booney is doing it. 41, Princeton 36. 18 points for James Folders. 6 in the second half. And Keith Carroll with the timeout on Princeton. 7 minutes, 31 seconds remaining in the game. Pennsylvania 41, Princeton 36, back after this.
Dan, take it back. They pulled the card.
Dan Baker and Bob Petrone at the Palestra. With 7 minutes and 31 seconds remaining in the game. Henry Princeton by 5. And an interesting matchup in the first Ivy League game of the year. And as is the case, whatever Penn plays Princeton, it's a close one. The margin now is 5 points. But this game still is far from being decided.
At the half, Old Dominion 29, St. Joseph 29.
Hey!
In the finals of that tournament, and St. Joseph's doing all right.
Probably playing a slow game. Meanwhile,
learn about AutoVest, the new way to drive a new car and pay on half. Combine the best features of buying and leasing. AutoVest Center is located at 259 East Lancaster Avenue in Woodwood, Pennsylvania. Call Coach Harvey Fortner at AutoVest, 215-midway-9-7100. Tell him Dan Baker and Bob Petrone told you to call him and find out about the new way to invest in a car. The world's largest retail auto plan serving 30 cities and 11 states. AutoVest, 259 Lancaster Avenue in Woodwood, 215-MI-9-7100. Ask for Harvey Fortner. Princeton trails by 5, 41-36. St. Joseph's tied with Old Dominion, 29 at the half. The Tigers have the ball. They have 7:25 to go here.
What a big win for the Hawks. That could be if they can pull it off. Down against Old Dominion. Neil Crystal, cross court. Paul almost there to steal it. Robinson left corner. Out to Gary Nash. Robinson, high post, stays flat. Neil Crystal, right of the circle. Puts on the floor, picks it up, and throws it to them. They're trying to draw that 10 zone out a little bit, Bob. Stays flat on the right side of Crystal. Cross court to Nash. Left of the circle. A long shot up, no good. And there for the top is Craig Robinson. 10:41, Princeton 38. Ball, right corner. Bruce Salters from the right of the circle. He shoots it through. Rudy is on fire. It's 20 points. And most of those from long range. 10:43, Princeton 38.
Dan James Salters, this is his third varsity season. We're going to have a foul as he cut across, as Clay Robinson cut across. He and Avery Rawlings collided. We're going to call a foul on Rawlings. But, you know, I wondered at the end of last season whether Booney was strong enough to carry this team in the backcourt, the only team in the team. And he's just outdone my fondest expectations. He's just done a great job.
Well, Bob will remember how well the Quakers played in those NCAA games down in North Carolina. First at Raleigh, then at Greensboro. And it's Princeton basketball here. 10:43, Princeton 38, Dave Black, right baseline against Kenny Hall. Underneath, he passes, but before he did, he had a jump ball. Hall and Black. Black couldn't get rid of it and held onto it for more than 5 seconds without making a move. And Kenny Hall and Dave Black will jump it up. At the Princeton foul line, a little bit of a jumping in to Kenny Hall.
Randy Melville comes back in. Randy's been sitting out a lot. He's had 3 persons. He had 9 points in the first half. He comes in for Neil Crystal. Sophomore from Redding, PA.
Kenny with the pass to George Moon off a noon hand to Avery Rawlings. And now Penn with a 5-point lead. And 5:52 remaining in the game. The Quakers have possession. Left corner Avery Rawlings for Kenny Hall. Paul Little back in the game. The Quakers have Little and Rawlings and Moon up front. Moon goes to the hoop. And we got a foul. Oh, Rawlings on Moon.
At first, it looks like Rawlings traveled. He got the pass off to Noon on the baseline, and George just traveled as he got the ball and just wasn't quite sure what to do with it, so he walked with it.
It's Crimson basketball. The Tigers fail by 5, 43-38. 5.5 minutes left. Crimson, half side black, Simpkins left side, shoots it up, no good. Riddle way up for the rebound. And now Penn breaks quickly up the court. Fuller, great side. Oh, goes to the hoop, and now it's great. Great individual move by Kenny Hall.
Damn, it's a big play like that. Here comes a streamer out. That's got to be the last time. Phoenix Wills up complaining to Harry Callis and Don Casey. I don't know what they can do to help at this moment. But Phoenix just needed an audience, and both Harry and Don can be good listeners.
10:45, Princeton 38. Randy Melville against Little. Outside the glass. Black drives left side, goes to the hoop. Partially blocked by Little, taken down by Noon. Kenny Hall goes behind his back. Little picks it up, right corner corners, low post rolling, spins, goes up. We got a whistle and an offensive foul against him.
But Bob Weinhauer is very upset at his team, not at the officials. I think it was something the way he focused set the play up. And he come over and Weinhauer gives Tony a big pat from the hind quarter.
I don't think he likes Kenny Hall going behind his back first at half court.
Right.
Greg Robinson turns, spins, hooks it, no good. The ball comes down to Rowling. Penn leads by 7. And Bob Weinhauer holds up the right hand. All the fingers are closed tight to the palm. He gives him a fist. He's giving him some kind of a signal. The signal is, let's move from our right to left.
Punch him, punch him. No, except that it says, hold it out, play it cautiously.
Well, this is what Villanova did. They held it out a little bit against St. Peter's when they had a big lead. Little puts it on the floor. Shoulders picked it up and is fouled by Gary Knapp. So, the 3:57 left. Princeton's guilty of a defensive foul. 10:45, Princeton 38. Neither team has committed 7 personals. Neither team will go to the foul line as yet. And the inbound in the score court.
That's the fourth foul on Gary Knapp. In the Villanova game, Dan, the thing was, I think, as John Fanone mentioned in one of our interviews, Villanova just completely gave in to St. Peter's style. So here it's a 45-38 game, Penn over Princeton. We'll be back after this.
Making another week of winners for this year's Philly Think 5 basketball team. The top men in college basketball go one-on-one for the top slot. And did you know Philly's got another big five? Mrs. Paul's top 5 seafood dishes. And everyone's a winner. Number one is Mrs. Paul's more crab than ever deviled crabs. The crunchiest coating you'll ever want to munch. Number two is Mrs. Paul's breaded fish fillets. Thick cuts of white fish, deliciously breaded, this never loses. Number three is our white batter fish fillets. Tender white fish on the inside and a crispy, crunchy batter on the outside that's the best they ever made. Number four is Mrs. Paul's fried clams. Nothing's better than listening to the game with a crunchy plateful right next to your favorite beverage. Number five is Mrs. Paul's fried
clams.
So good, you just might want to eat them with some clams, some cocktail sauce, and a couple of friends. So, with Mrs. Paul's big five dishes, even if your team loses, you're a winner.
With Bob Petrone, I'm Dan Baker, and we just paused for a word from Mrs. Paul's, and we hope that the Chuck Benarek Mrs. Paul's commercials will make their debut on Tuesday. They are somewhere back at the station, and Chuck does a great job for Mrs. Paul's. He's one of their new spokesmen.
You better say that, Dan.
He'll tell you all about Mrs. Paul's pierogi. Underneath. Paul Little drops it off for Avery Rawlings. As he does, we have a foul.
On John Rogers, you mentioned John earlier, he's the only senior on the Princeton roster, and it's the first time he got into the ballgame. Now he's fouled Paul Little, and Little will go to the line. One and one, or a two shot foul. That's true. I guess it's a one and one, right? No, it's a two shot foul, because it's only 6 fouls.
Now, they used to call him Concrete Charlie when he wore number 60. For the Philadelphia Eagles and worked in the offseason for the Warner Concrete Company. Now, with Mrs. Paul, he's known as Fish Stick Charlie, or the Prince of Pierogies. And we'll be hearing from Chuck on the Big Five broadcast. Paul Little makes one of two, 10 by 8, 46-38. And George Moon steals a pass and sends it to Craig Robinson. And now, Ken with a chance to put some breathing room between themselves and the Princeton Tigers.
with little to noon. Noon puts it on the floor to Rawlings. Little to Kenny Hall. Noon. Little. And they're throwing the ball expertly around the pressing Princeton defense to try to regain possession. There's just 2:56 left. It looks like Penn is headed in the right direction for their ninth Ivy League title in 11 seasons. George Noon is grabbed from behind at the foul line by Craig Robinson. And George Noon, a 6'8 freshman, 220 pounds from Bel Air, Maryland, will go to the foul line to shoot one and one.
Noon has only scored 2 points in this ball game, but in the second half, I think he's been a big factor. His basket came right when Penn needed one. They were only up by one. He played strongly on defense. He's rebounded well, and he makes the free throw. Making a 47-38 game with 2:49 to go, and considering that Tom Leeson is unavailable because of his knee injury, Noon has come in and played very well. Noon will still forget.
47-38. Noon with 3 points, tries for four, misses it. But Little rebounds in the lane and gets it back out the quarters. Oh, my, did Little get up? Back to Noon. Kenny Hall, 2:42 left. It looks like another Quaker victory. Their third of the year against four losses. If they can maintain this lead for the last 2.5 minutes. That's all that's left. 10:47, Princeton 38. Shoulders near half court. And Penn shows that they can hold on to it when they have to. Noon puts the ball way up into the air, and he's grabbed by one of the Tiger defenders. I think number 21, Randy Melville.
Yeah, and that would be the fourth on Randy. Mentioned again that he was the Tiger's high score at the half with 9 points, and that's all he scored. He hasn't scored since, and seven of those were on free throws.
Bob, who's the guest on Monday night for the Big Five Bob Batone Pipeline?
We have Jim Lynham, fresh from his fine appearance in the Old Dominion Classic. And we hope we'll be chatting with John Thompson, the Georgetown coach, whose team is in here Tuesday. George and John and the Georgetown Hoyas probably coming up a night early. We're going to try and have John and tell us about the Hoyas, who a lot of people think are number two in the East, right behind Syracuse, possibly with St. John. So, and that's all setting up for Tuesday's doubleheader. Penn Temple in the nightcap, preceded by St. John's Georgetown. Noon makes one. It's a 48-38 game. He misses the second, puts some rebounds. And we have 2:15 to go.
I'll tell you, and Robert, as we were discussing before tonight's broadcast, I like Villanova up there in that play.
Right. I will not argue, Dan. Steve Hills is a jumper for Princeton.
4 points for him. 10:48, Princeton 40, a minute 58 remaining in the game. George Noon, cross court to Paul Little. Paul cross court to Kenny Hall as the ball is swung from the left to the right and back again. Noon again fouled by Craig Robinson. And George will again go to the foul line. He missed the front end of a 1-1 moments ago. And Princeton would prefer, I guess, that most of the players on the court would rather see Noon go to that foul line. Figuring that as a freshman and as a big man, he would probably be one of the worst foul shooters.
Plus the fact that the play is revolving off him, he's in control at least of the passes most of the time, and you start fouling people away from the ball, they're going to get you for a two-shot job. Noon makes the first. Ted Flick is waiting to come in for George. George makes that one, makes it a 49-40 game, 1:50 to go.
But before tonight, George is shooting only 54.5% from the line. He makes both here. 6 of 11 before tonight. Now Noon comes out with 6 points to get a fine shot. Vincent Ross and Teddy Flicker back with Paul Little in the forecourt. Quarters and Hall in the backcourt. And 50, Princeton 40. Vincent on the right side to George Enderley. Henley shoots and misses. The ball drops on the floor. Paul dies for it. Smith goes for it. Ross goes for it. The Vickers got a whistle. And maybe a jump ball at the Princeton foul line.
All right, Dan. I would assume that this is a Penn victory. And when we mentioned early in the season when Penn was going through the difficulties of an 0-4 start, that their schedule was a little bit in reverse. Usually you start off with, you know, the games you get you ready for the season. They start off at Wake Forest at Davidson as John Rogers makes an acrobatic driver. But Penn now playing the kind of games against Navy, against St. Vincent, now against Princeton, to prepare them for the Duke game, so to speak. So having gone through the Wake Forest, Davidson, Duke portion of the schedule, they are now to the level where Bob Weinauer can get these freshmen and sophomores into the game. People like George New.
There's a sign under the basket that says Luke Nassau Hall.
can freely translate it as defense. And Penn is doing that so far. Rogers' foul shot is missed, but the ball goes out of bounds off Penn. There's a minute 32 remaining. Penn 50, Princeton 42. And we'll pause for this.
This bus for you, for being on the job and working hard all day. This bus for you, you know that nothing less than this can take it all away.
This bus for you,
yes, it's you. There's no one else who does it quite the way you do. This bus for you, this carpet isn't only what you pay, what you do.
Yeah, just for you, that distinctively clean, crisp taste of this Budweiser.
Stand by.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
With about 1:32 to go, the Big Five within 92 seconds of completing a triple sweep. Villanova edged St. Peter 51-50. LaSalle ran away from Niagara behind Michael Brooks, 34 points, and now penned by eight as the Tigers go from Dan's left to my right. A more 20 remaining. Outside from distance, Robinson shoots and misses, and Hall gets the rebound, and he's fouled by John Rogers, the lone senior on the Princeton team. With a minute 14 remaining, and there were some offensive remarks on signs pertaining to Pete Thurill under the Penn basket, down to our right. Princeton comes back to the Palestra for another visit later in the month on Saturday, January 26th. Another triple header, Temple Manhattan at 1 o'clock, Penn Richmond at 3, St. Joseph Princeton at 5. So that's another chance for the Big Five to see what it can do against the outside. Kenny Hall makes it. 51-42, 1:14 to go. Pennsylvania 51, Princeton 42. Bob, that sign is one of the funniest that I've seen here at the Palestra. We can't repeat it over the air, but that's one of the many reasons to come out and see Big Five basketball at the Palestra. A minute 8 remaining. 10:52, Princeton 42. You can't bring all the color back over the airwaves. Teddy Flick rebounds a missed Princeton shot, and he sends in by three Tigers and eventually fouled, possibly by Gordon Enderley. 6'6 freshman from New York. Stan, just looking again at some of the future things. Saturday, February 2nd, a mid-afternoon doubleheader starting at 3:30. But St. Joseph plays LaSalle and Penn plays Columbia, and that's Mrs. Paul's day here. So a lot of things happening here at the Palestra. One at the Spectrum on the 19th, Penn going over LaSalle Temple. Teddy Flick makes a whiff. One gets in, and it's a 53-42 game with just inside the one-minute mark. There are two very special Mrs. Paul's giveaway days coming up that we'll be telling you a lot about in the very near future if you won't want to miss them. One of our fine sponsors, Mrs. Paul. Ted Flick makes two fouls, 10:54, Princeton 42. And the Quakers have indeed served notice. They intend to defend their Ivy League title with alacrity. And this is Craig Robinson, right in the circle, shooting and missing. He follows his shot and goes over the top of James Salter to do so. With 40 seconds left, Penn leads by 12, and Brody Salter with 20 points in the game. Goes to the foul line after Craig Robinson draws his fourth personal.
Dan, I just saw that sign. What it says is,
oh no, you better come out and see it. I guess
okay. Yeah, okay.
You hadn't seen it before.
No, I saw it, but I don't know what it said. There's a lot of letters in those words.
Some people might consider it a compliment. 10:55, our producer Rob Richards enjoys it. He's been laughing for the past 5 minutes.
Teddy
Flick
them down. Teddy
Flick them
down. Teddy has 6 points.
James for a second. He makes them both. 10:56, Princeton 42. 38 seconds remaining in the game. Gordon Enderley off to Siegel. Siegel shoots from the right side. He misses. Robinson goes to the rebound, but it's knocked away from him by Kenny Hall, who was replaced by another youngster, David Larkin.
Princeton, a walk-off in Auburn, California. Princeton inbound. Steve Mills, right side, keeps her half the glass and misses. Lost rebound for Penn. Penn leads by 14 points with just 20 seconds remaining. And Vincent Royce walks from the backcourt. It'll be Princeton's ball inbounding just in front of
him. And a standing ovation for Bruni Solers as he leads 22 points.
The real sign is up. The Quaker fans are on their feet cheering with just 9 seconds left. Penn leads by 14, and Tom Brett is fouled in the backcourt by Craig Robinson. That's all for the fine-looking freshman. But believe you me, he's going to help Princeton before this year is over. 6'6 freshman Craig Robinson from Chicago.
It's not often that a Penn team or a Penn fan can cheer with only 9 seconds left to go in a game of Princeton, but they usually go right down to the wire. So Paul Little comes out. He shows it, and he sat out the first half. He was disciplined for missing a meeting. Tom Leeson in civilian clothes comes up and greets the players as they come out. Tom Breck makes the first. Tom is a good shooter. Freshman, as we mentioned, out of Brynathon, PA, from the Academy of New Church.
58-42, Pennsylvania. Rogers, the Mills, just 4 seconds left. Single, partially got by Moon, taken by Breck. 1 second left. Michael Brown, into the court, shoots and misses. But Pennsylvania has opened the fence of its Ivy League crowd with a convincing 58-42 victory over Princeton. And we'll be right back for a look at the post-game scoring statistics after this.
The Phillies' 1980 season ticket drive is underway, so the baseball season can't be far behind. Once again, the Phillies are offering 9 different season ticket plans. They start as low as $71.50 for the 13-game Sunday plan in a 300 or 500 location. The Phillies still are one of baseball's most interesting ball clubs, and the team is looking forward to going head-to-head with the National League starting Friday night, April 11th. For more information, including a free color brochure, call the Phillies at 215-463-5000. Or write the season tickets, Post Office Box 7575. Philadelphia, PA 19101. The Phillies sales office is open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 4:30. Mather & Company is one of Philadelphia's oldest and most well-known insurance brokers, and they take great pride in bringing you tonight's Big Five basketball game. Mather & Company is located in the heart of Society Hill at 226 Walnut Street. For your personal or commercial insurance needs, call WA50118, or if you're downtown, stop in to see them. For experience and dependability, it's Mather & Company, insurance brokers since 1873. Mather & Company, 226 Walnut Street in Old Philadelphia.
It's official. Sloan Marcus Toyota is now Bob Sloan Toyota.
I did this spot at CES.
We're celebrating with a grand opening sale that'll put you behind the wheel of a new Toyota for 1980. And it could be the all-new front-wheel drive, 43 miles per gallon, Corolla Tercel. It's a grand opening event you won't want to miss. Over 200 new Toyotas in stock, ready to go. And now at Bob Sloan Toyota, you can get the General Motors Extended Service Policy that means mechanical repair protection for 50,000 miles. Now let me repeat. Sloan Marcus Toyota is now Bob Sloan Toyota. And the 1980 celebration is on, featuring the all-new 43 miles per gallon front-wheel drive Corolla Tercel. On the spot, GMAC financing. And you'll drive home your new Toyota bargain 1 hour after you've made your deal. Bob Sloan Toyota, number one in Pennsylvania. On Eastern Road and nearby Glenside, PA.
History in the making tonight at the Palestra as the Big Five sweeps its first triple header ever against outside competition. First game tonight was won by Villanova. The Wildcats of Coach Willie Massimino defeated St. Peter's 51-50, certainly further establishing the mainline club as one of the top college fives in Eastern basketball. Villanova now 9-2. St. Peter's with 8-2 coming in. They're now 8-3 themselves. In the middle game, LaSalle defeated Niagara 95-83. The Explorers improved their record to 6-4. Michael Brooks had 34 points to lead all Explorers scorers. And as a matter of fact, he was the leading scorer in the entire game. Despite Gary Jordan's 30 points for Niagara, the final, LaSalle 95, Niagara 83. In a game that was hard fought throughout, the concluding game of the triple header,
Pennsylvania 58, Princeton 42. The Quakers pulled away at the end after a very close game. At halftime, it was Pennsylvania 27, Princeton 24. We have to pause for a couple of commercial messages, after which we'll take a look at the scoring in the nightcap.
How do you handle a hungry man? The Panhandlers.
One, two, three,
that's it, Dad. Those are my two men out there, wanting a boulder so I can finally have my rose garden. What a man-sized hunger they're working up. Big enough for Campbell's split pea with ham and bacon soup. A thick, delicious soup with split peas, carrots, ham, and bacon.
The Panhandlers. Now that's a man-sized part of a man's meal. How do you handle a hungry man?
Fixing up the bacon is going to take forever, Dad.
I never said it'd be easy, son.
My men have been working hard on getting their basement finished, so I'm getting ready for Campbell's beef soup to handle their appetite. Campbell's beef soup, lean, juicy beef loaded with country vegetables.
Now that's a man-sized part of a man's meal.
With Bob Batone, I'm Dan Baker at the Palestra, where the Big Five has just swept a doubleheader. And in the game that was just concluded, Pennsylvania, going for its ninth Ivy League basketball title in 11 years, opens the defense of its almost perennial crown for the past decade, beating Princeton 58-42. And one of the big reasons was the outside shooting, and by the way, some very outstanding defense by our special guest, Angela Reynolds, out of West Catholic and West Philadelphia. Angela, congratulations on your great game tonight. And I know that against a team that plays a good zone defense, Bobby Weinhauer likes to go to you. You're kind of the zone buster on the Quakers, aren't you?
Yeah. We prepare for the game all week because we knew Princeton would play primarily 2-3 zone or 3-2. And they played with the last 4 or 5 games, you know. We worked hard all week. We knew we'd be facing them at the game. People were okay. We had to, you know, concentrate on defense if they tried to run a lot of backdoor plays. So we knew primarily what we had to do was just a matter of going out and executing tonight.
Angelo, what exactly was that play that you were using whereby you were getting open in the left corner all the time? How do you attack the zone in that way? Or is that the kind of offense that you wouldn't want to reveal over the air just in case you have some other Ivy League scouts?
Like the Ivy League teams know what we run in primarily a transition game, but it's a 3-2 zone. Just a 3-2 zone, we'll try to get 3 men on the baseline against their 2. I'll come down to the corner. And when I run the baseline, the forward is screaming forward on that side. So, like, we have 3 on the baseline against their 2, and it's pretty hard to cover. But you swing the ball around, I get it in the corner, and looking for the man that's in the box. If he comes out tonight, get it into the diamond.
Get him on mic, Dan.
But it's pretty hard for them to cover because you have 3 on the baseline against their 2.
Angelo, just a word about your old team, West Catholic, last night. They played home, and I don't know, do you still follow the Birds?
Yeah, I was at playing a go-to game, but we had our practice schedule changed from 6 o'clock in the evening to 1 in the afternoon. I had played, you know, trying to make it to the game, but we practiced at 6. I didn't know till the last minute that we got switched to 1, so I had to change my plans. You know, it's a good while. We always like to go to a good, exciting rivalry in
Catholic. Yeah, of course, we're referring to the narrow Roman Catholic victory last night at West, 46-44. Pat Caskey's done a nice job as the coach of the West Catholic Birds. They seem to have been producing outstanding players all along. Witness you here in Pennsylvania, Michael Brooks at LaSalle, and there's
Mike
a whole...
Is up at Cornell.
Yeah, that was a good friend of mine, Jeff Hunter, played tonight for Niagara.
That's right.
Me and him were just real good close buddies in the backcourt of West Catholic.
Yeah, there's another close buddy of yours here tonight, Bob Batone, who is just very happy to see you and all the Philadelphia high school stars do a good job and stay here in Philadelphia as opposed to going away. He's got a couple of questions for you right now.
All right, Angelo. At the beginning of the game, we knew Sam McCaffrey was out. We knew Tom Leeson. We were puzzled by Paul Little. We found out later that he was being disciplined. When was it, a team meeting that he missed or something?
Well, we came back from practice on Saturday, and Paul didn't make the first practice on Saturday morning, and then he was late again. The first time it's just a 5-minute film, the second time it's the whole half. He was late again, and another practice a couple minutes late, you know. So, Coach Sachs took some disciplinary action, hopefully for the better of the whole team, you know.
We have the booming on Well, that's the weekend it was. He didn't start. He missed the meeting.
Yeah.
Of course, the dry cleaners, it was too crowded. I've heard a lot of excuses for the fact that the dry cleaning establishment was too crowded or something. But Angelo, how about your role? You know, even now with Frank McCaffrey out, to Kenny Hall, yourself, Dave Jackson, and Tony Sellers, obviously you'd like more playing time, but you are filling the role perfectly.
Well, you know, like you said, we have four good guards. Everybody can play. And I just have a little places to make a contribution. I got off to a pretty slow start because I have trouble getting into it, you know, psychologically sometimes. I had a lot of pressure on me this semester, you know. And I didn't get off to a good start, like, you know, the way I wanted to. But hopefully things will go better. But like you said, we have four good guards that can play. On any given night, anybody can pick us, you know. Brandy is a real good player, you know. We miss him a lot, you know. He'll be with us next year. We have a very strong basketball.
All right, you have a very strong game Tuesday night for Temple. We're going to talk about that when we come back. This is Bob Patrone. We're talking with Angelo Reynolds. Stan Baker and I will be back after this.
The fans here in Philly go for basketball in a big way. And the Big Five is basketball at its best. Whether it's the Explorers taming the Wildcats or St. Joseph out hustling the Quakers, it's some top competition. But you know, there's no competition when it comes to Mrs. Paul's fried scallops and clams. Mrs. Paul's uses only the finest white scallops and sweet baby clams. Then, they're dipped in a batter so crisp, they're going to go as fast as you can make them. Because nothing works up an appetite like some serious competition. Nothing satisfies it better than Mrs. Paul's fried scallops and clams. So this week, there's going to be a lot of Big Five action. Be sure you stock up on your favorite beverage and plenty of Mrs. Paul's for the gang. Because there's only one Big Five, there's only one seafood dish good enough to serve. Mrs. Paul's.
We grew up with the great taste of Campbell soup. Right, Mom?
Mm-hmm. I'm Lee Merriweather, and these are my daughters.
I'm Kyle, and I'm Leslie.
We found out that 16 great-tasting Campbell soups are so light in calories, they're now called the light ones.
They all have only 90 calories or less, a 10-ounce serving. So now we enjoy them more often.
Like beefy mushrooms, only 90 calories. Look for the Campbell soups that say the light ones on the label. There's 16 soups with a few of the best-tasting calories around.
Hi, I'm Lee Merriweather.
You know, I'm flattered when people are surprised to find out that I have two teenage daughters.
Well, I take care of myself and I eat light.
The light ones from Campbell are a big help. There's 16 of your favorite Campbell soups with only 90 calories or less a 10-ounce serving. Like vegetarian vegetable, only 90 calories. So eat light, have soup more often, and enjoy the flattery. Look for the Campbell soups that now say the light ones on the label. There are 16 soups with a few of the best-tasting calories around.
Mather & Company is one of Philadelphia's oldest and most well-known insurance brokers, and they take great pride in bringing you tonight's Big Five basketball game. Mather & Company is located in the heart of Society Hill at 226 Walnut Street. For your personal or commercial insurance needs, call WA50118, or if you're downtown, stop in to see them. For experience and dependability, it's Mather & Company, insurance broker since 1873. Mather & Company, 226 Walnut Street in Old Philadelphia.
10:58, Princeton 42, and one of the big reasons is with us, Angelo Reynolds. Angelo, we're talking about next Tuesday night, Penn versus Temple. Temple says we're going defense. You better be ready.
Yeah, I think we are, you know. Penn says we have to take one game at a time, and after tonight, everybody will be thinking about Temple, I'm sure. You know, we got off to a slow start in the tournament, you know, to get the team is blending, this kind of young, it's taking us a while, but I think we're finally coming together, and hopefully we'll be ready Tuesday night.
Okay, let's see what Angelo Reynolds did before we let him go. 3-for-5, 4-for-4, 2 assists, 10 points. Angelo, thanks for stopping by. You had a great game. We'll see you Tuesday. Good luck to the coaches.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Angelo Reynolds, one of the Penn stars tonight in their Ivy League opening win against the Princeton Tigers. Let's take a look at the rest of the statistics for the Penn basketball team. A total of 58 points. They were led in scoring by James Saunders, who had 22. Angelo was the second high scorer for the Quakers with 10. Also in on the scoring parade, 6 points for Ted Flick, 6 for George Noon, 4 points for Kenny Hall, 4 points for David Jackson, 3 for Vincent Ross, 2 for Tom Brecht, and 1 for Paul Little. Total of 58 points. Rebounding, 11 for Vincent Ross, very strong on the board. And Vincent had 8 more than the second highest Penn rebounder, which ironically was James Saunders, David Jackson, George Noon, and Paul Little. For Princeton, not one double-figure scorer.
Leading the way with 9 points, Randy Melville. 8 points for Rich Simpkins. 6 apiece for Gary Knapp and Craig Robinson. 4 points for Steve Mills. 3 for Neil Crystal. 3 for Dave Black. 2 for John Rogers, who got in near the end of the game. Spiegel had a point. Nothing for Gordon Enderley, who also got into the game late. Leading rebounder for Princeton with 6 was Neil Crystal. So a disappointing loss for Pete Carrill and the Princeton Tigers, but a big win for the Penn Quakers. The final tonight in Game 3 of a Big 5 triple header. 58 for Pennsylvania, 42 for Princeton. Bob, it's been a pretty good night, as we mentioned at the outset of our post-game show. History in the making, the Big 5 sweeping a triple header against outside opposition.
Right, Dan, it's nothing like coming back to a triple header after a couple of weeks off to get you tuned. Mentioned again, we'll be on Tuesday from both WWDB-FM and WHAT-AM. St. Joseph's Georgetown at 7, Penn Temple at 9. On Monday night from 6 to 8, Howard Eskin and myself will have the Big 5 Pipeline on WWDB-FM. That'll be with Tim Lynham from St. Joseph's and John Thompson, the Georgetown coach, whose Hoyas are in the Tuesday doubleheader. And in Philadelphia, college basketball means Big 5 action. And on Saturday afternoon, January 19th, a Big 5 extravaganza is scheduled for the Spectrum. Two sitting series battles are in test, with the Villanova Wildcats meeting the Penn Quakers at 1:30 and the LaSalle Explorers versus the Temple Owls at 3:30. Be on hand to see Michael Brooks, John Fanone, Looney Salters, Donnie Dodds, and all the local stars in action. And Angelo Reynolds, too. Tickets are available at the Spectrum, the Palestra, all tickets on outlets, and leading ticket agencies. Big 5 basketball, the team game in Philadelphia.
We are awaiting. John tells us that the St. Joe's beat Old Dominion 52-51. That means the second half score was something like 22-21, because it was 29 up at the half. Nice going, Hawks, over Old Dominion in their home country of the Old Dominion.
And, Bob, the goodies are going to flow tonight at Cavanaugh's.
Well,
Big 5 goes 4-for-4. And Temple was idle today. How about that? St. Joseph defeats Old Dominion, which was ranked among the top teams in the East according to the Widmer poll, and which the Sporting News had in its preseason top 20. We have a Widmer poll somewhere around here. Here it is. Old Dominion ranked 8th with a 6-1 record before this week. Hey, how about Drake with the ex-Overbrook star Lewis Lloyd defeating Georgetown earlier this week also? Well, this is Dan Baker with Bob Batone at the Palestra. Once again, a quick reminder that the Big 5 sweeps the triple header, and St. Joseph's wins the Kiwanis Tournament in Virginia over Old Dominion. Villanova 51, St. Peter's 50. LaSalle 95, Niagara 83. Penn 58, Princeton 42. And I think it was St. Joseph's 52, Old Dominion 51. Our thanks to statistician Rick Baker, our coordinator back at WHAT and WWDB, John Curry, our technical supervisor, Bruce Matson, our producer and engineer here at the Palestra, Rob Richards. For Bob Batone, I'm Dan Baker. Thank you for listening to Big 5 Basketball.
WWDB, Philadelphia, the talk station.